You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Alrighty, away we go. Hour number three of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. It is a Tuesday, so let's get to a little overreaction, proper reaction. We get things rocking and rolling in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
Another football week is complete, which means it's another week to freak out about your favorite team. Which takes are truly crazy.
But sometimes a game can be so bad, it's almost good. You know what I'm saying? No.
And which are so crazy, they might be right.
He's 6'5", he's 245 pounds. He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Zach lets you know in this week's edition of Overreaction or Proper Reaction.
All righty, what do we got cooking today?
All right, Zach, so the Chiefs, they were officially eliminated from the playoffs after losing Patrick Mahomes to an ACL injury, while the Cowboys' chances are basically zero, but they are not mathematically out of it as of yet. After Sunday's loss, Andy Reid was focused on finishing the season strong.
Well, we got to take care of business the next few games. I'm just coming off the field. My mind was on this game here and taking care of it there, and, you know, I wanted it to come out different, obviously. So I haven't gone too much further than that.
And today, Jerry Jones told 105.3 The Fan in Dallas that the Cowboys won't give up even if they are eliminated.
A win is very, very important in the NFL. And a win is important to me. And a win does a lot of positive things. I don't care when it happens. And we owe it to that mirror, and we owe it certainly to our fans that we want to walk out there and be competitive. We will not try for a draft position. We won't be looking at anything like that. We'll be out there playing football, and we'll bring them to play. So that's a long-winded way of saying we'll play football under whatever the circumstances are.
Overreaction or proper reaction, the momentum from finishing a season strong usually carries over to the next season.
It did for the Lions a few years ago, but what we've learned this year is whatever happens from one year to the next really could change instantly, could change at a snap of a finger. So if the Chiefs win some games with their backup quarterback, or the Cowboys win and they don't make the postseason, do I think it's a momentum push to next season? No, I do not. So the momentum for finishing a season strong usually carries over to the next season. I'm going to go offsides. Overreaction.
Overreaction, yes.
Sorry, I'm watching this Pat Boyle video right now. I love Pat. Some of his videos suck. He put out this video. The NBA Cup matters. I want a banner inside the Garden. Let's go Knicks. And then he, I guess, fell. Oh, my God. He's acting.
He fake fell?
He fake fell on ice. This is such an acting job. WWE wrestlers wouldn't even believe this. All right, maybe we'll play this audio before the show does end. This is just such a contrived video. We will have Pat on tomorrow, and we will call him out for his jackassery. I know it's the Spurs and the Knicks for the NBA Cup tonight. The Knicks, you want a banner in the Garden for a midseason tournament? Pat, what are you, Participation Trophy Society? I thought you were a man, not a loser. Yeah, you acted like a loser, all right? I am only just seeing Pat's reaction, and it looks like a video that should just be slammed on social media. So, social media, slam Pat Boyle. Anyway, what do we got?
All right, the Rams, they got some good news and
what
some...
What a fake fall, by the way. It's such a fake fall. Anything that guy would do for some cheap views. Go ahead.
The Rams got some good and bad news with Davante Adams. They learned that his hamstring injury was just a re-aggravation of a previous injury and not a new injury, as first feared. The bad news is Adams is unlikely to play this week, Thursday, against the Seahawks in a key NFC West battle, and his availability for the rest of the season is considered week-to-week. Overreaction or proper reaction, it is more important for the Rams to keep Adams healthy for the postseason than push him and get the number one seed and a bye.
I'm not trying to take away from the importance of having the number one seed and diminishing that, but Davante Adams healthy is more important than getting the number one overall seed. So it's more important for the Rams to keep Adams healthy for the postseason than to push him to get the number one seed and a bye. That is a proper reaction.
All right, after the Steelers beat the Dolphins last night, they opened up a one-game lead over the Ravens and currently have the tiebreaker over Baltimore. However, the two teams face off week 18 in a game that could determine who wins the division and makes the playoffs and who gets sent home early on vacation. Overreaction or proper reaction, the Ravens will miss the playoffs.
All right, help me out here with a little exercise, Stewie.
Okay.
Steelers at the Lions this Sunday.
I would say the Lions will win that one.
I would agree. So that would put them at 8-7 on the season. Steelers at the Cleveland Browns.
The Steelers will win that one.
I would agree. Steelers, Ravens.
I'll go Ravens.
Okay. So you would have the Steelers then going 9-8. Now, the Baltimore Ravens schedule the rest of the way. Let me pull it up right here. The Baltimore Ravens this weekend. Oh, yeah, right. That's my team. On Sunday Night Football, they play the Patriots.
I think they will lose to the Patriots.
Ooh. All righty, Stu. 7-8. Then the Ravens play the Green Bay Packers. In Green Bay.
I don't love how the Packers have looked. Even though it's on the road, I think the Ravens win that one.
And then they play the Steelers.
Which I said they would beat the Steelers.
They would win. So you have the Ravens go to the playoffs.
Yes.
I kind of think the Steelers are. I'm just looking at the schedule. Lions tough, but then the Browns and the Ravens. The Ravens have to play New England, Green Bay, and then once they get through that, then they have to play Pittsburgh for possibly the division being on the line to end the season. The Ravens will miss the playoffs. I'm going to go proper reaction.
Okay, entering the season, the Chiefs, Ravens, Bengals, Lions, Commanders, and Cowboys all had Super Bowl expectations. But as of now, all six of those teams currently sit outside of the playoffs, with just the Ravens, Lions, and Cowboys holding an outside chance of making it. Overreaction or proper reaction, if all of these teams do end up missing the playoffs, the Chiefs will be the most disappointing of them all.
Cowboys, no. I predicted before the start of the season that the Commanders would not, so I can't say I'm disappointed in them. Lions, definitely disappointed. Bengals, not really, just because of the injury to Burrow, and they were a fringe playoff team to begin the season. Yeah, the Lions, Ravens, and Chiefs are disappointing. In terms of if all these teams do end up missing the playoffs, the Chiefs will be the most disappointing of them all. Ah, man, I probably am least disappointed in the Ravens. Now, they did have the easiest path because that division's just not good this year, where the AFC West is very good and the NFC North is very good. But the Chiefs just missed it because they stunk. The Lions, if they miss it, they probably have a respectable record. So I'm going to say I'd be most disappointed in the Chiefs, then the Lions would be 2, and the Ravens would be 3. So if all these teams do end up missing the playoffs this season, the Chiefs would be the most disappointing team of them all. Yeah, that's a proper reaction because they're 6-8 in the season.
All right, Myles Garrett tallied another sack and a half in this week's blowout loss and now sits one back of Michael Strahan and TJ Watt. for the single season record of 22.5. The 2023 Defensive Player of the Year is averaging an insane 2.3 sacks per game over his last seven contests. With the Browns hosting the Bills this weekend, a team who gives up 2.3 sacks per game. Overreaction or proper reaction, Myles Garrett will break the record this week against the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen.
So it just needs a sack and a half.
That's right.
Proper reaction, I think he's going to get the job done. Especially because now everyone's going to be slobbering over the Bills. And I still think the Bills, right, are going to beat the Browns. But everyone's going to be slobbering over them. So I could see the Browns having a good first half effort. And maybe Myles Garrett breaks it even by halftime. So give me and the Bills' offensive line has been up and down through this season. So Myles Garrett will break the record this weekend against the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen. I'm going to go proper reaction.
No Bears quarterback has ever thrown for 4,000 yards in a season, and it felt like this might be the year for that to happen, but with Caleb Williams in his second season. But after a strong start, Caleb Williams is averaging just 194 passing yards a game over the last three, and is now on pace to fall short with just 3,800 yards, though he still has a chance to break the franchise record of 3,838 yards set by Eric Kramer in 1995. Overreaction or proper reaction, anything shy of 4,000 yards would be considered a disappointment for Caleb.
That's an overreaction. Here's why. You're telling me they can make the playoffs right now. They're sitting at 10-4. They got a tough schedule. They wrap up the season. So Caleb Williams got to play well. Don't get me wrong. But they play Green Bay this weekend on Saturday night. Then they're at San Francisco, and then they have the Lions. They could lose all three of those games. It's not crazy. And they could miss out on the postseason. But if they make the postseason, do you think anyone's going to give a rat's ass that the quarterback didn't throw for 4,000 yards? I know it's one of those things that you keep on saying, oh, well, the Bears quarterback didn't throw for 4,000 yards. But with what he's done this year, they're showing you they're moving in the right direction, even regardless of what happens in the final 3 weeks of the season. So that's what matters. It's the win total. They already have 10 wins. I know 10 wins doesn't get you anything, but them having more wins, to me, is more important than, oh, did you get 4,000 yards or not? Like, if they get 12 wins to wrap up the season, they go to the postseason, and you don't get 4,000 yards, would you rather have them go 10-7, miss out in the playoffs, but if he gets 4,000 yards, obviously you'd rather have the more wins. So the question here is, anything shy of 4,000 yards would be considered a disappointment for Caleb? I'm going overreaction.
All right, some big news for a trio of star college quarterbacks as DJ Lagway and Dylan Raiola both entered the transfer portal, and Arch Manning has decided to stay at Texas for another season. Now, 24/7 Sports ranked Lagway as the number one quarterback and Raiola as the number two quarterback in the 2024 recruiting class, while Arch was the number one quarterback in the 2023 class, though all three have had underwhelming college careers thus far. Overreaction or proper reaction, Arch Manning is the most likely to be a college and NFL star among these three.
Is this a trick question? Am I missing something here? DJ Lagway has been terrible the last 2 years at Florida. Dylan Raiola is coming off a major injury. He was fine before that. A bad season for Arch Manning this year was 9-3 at Texas. Yeah, Arch Manning is most likely to be a college and NFL star among these three between Raiola and Lagway. Yeah, that's a proper reaction. I would go Arch 1, Raiola 2, Lagway 3. So proper reaction.
All right, speaking of Texas, Steve Sarkisian has been vocal about his frustrations with the CFP after their one-score week one out-of-conference load loss to the defending champ and number two, Ohio State.
Is he still bitching about this?
He is. It ended up hurting them more than helping. This week, he took it a step further, saying, quote, if we're not going to value the strength of schedule, then surely that's going to adjust what we do moving forward in our non-conference scheduling, end of quote. Overreaction or proper reaction, losing a close out-of-conference game to a powerhouse should be valued more than mid-level out-of-conference wins.
Proper reaction, and that's weird to say that a loss should be more important than a win, but if you play some mid-level, average team, like for example, what's more impressive, Notre Dame obliterating Arkansas, or I know that, see, Texas, here's the problem with Sark. Texas-Ohio State really wasn't that good of a game. It got fine, it got tight late, but you never actually thought that Texas was going to win the game. So, like, let's say if Texas played Ohio State and it was 34-31 and you lose on the, at the horn on a game-winning field goal by Ohio State, that to me would be more impressive than Notre Dame just bludgeoning an Arkansas team that fired their coach 4 or 5 weeks prior. So in that way, it's weird to say that you'd rather have a loss than a win, but in the way I just explained it, I would go slight proper reaction.
All right, last one here. Cade Klubnik was another disappointing name among the quarterback elites this season, with Clemson finishing 7-5 and Klubnik throwing just 16 touchdowns in 11 games.
Woof.
Now, before the season, many had him on the shortlist for the number one pick in the 2026 draft, but clearly his stock is falling dramatically. And now the team has announced that Klubnik will play in the Pinstripe Bowl against Penn State. Overreaction or proper reaction, Klubnik should sit out the bowl game to avoid injury rather than trying to showcase for the NFL teams ahead of the draft.
He'll get drafted. He ain't going to get drafted that high, though. So if you want to finish out your career and you want to play in the bowl game and you want to finish out your college career that way, I'm never going to fault the kid for doing that. So Klubnik should sit out the bowl game to avoid injury rather than showcase for the NFL teams ahead of the draft. I'm going to say overreaction. I have no problem with him playing in the bowl game. How many times has people sit in and they bitch when kids do opt out of the bowl game? So now what, we're going to bitch when a kid does play in the bowl game? No, I'm not going to do that. All righty, we can shut it down. Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. We will take a break. When we do come back on this Tuesday edition of the show, we'll get back into the Michigan coaching search. Could Jed Fish be on the move, and could he be leaving Washington and become the next head football coach at Michigan? We'll discuss next. All righty, yo, yo. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. We will replay a chunk of a conversation that we had with Jake Butt last week as the odds are heating up. And now the new favorite to be the next head football coach of the Michigan Wolverines is Jed Fish. And then with the second highest odds, it's Kenny Dillingham. And then with the third highest odds, it is Kalen DeBoer. I don't think Jed Fish is a bad hire if it is Jed Fish going to Michigan. But I do believe that it's a little bit underwhelming. Now, I understand, I'm cognizant of the fact of how late this job is opening up. You already had Sumrall go to Florida. You already had Lane Kiffin go to LSU, even though Lane Kiffin wasn't going to be the next head football coach at Michigan. You already had Golish go to Arkansas, to Auburn. Silverfield go to Arkansas. Franklin go to Virginia Tech. You had so many dominoes that already did fall. So at this rate, do some people reassess their situation? Does a guy like Kenny Dillingham saying, even though I'm going to say publicly I'm not going to leave, maybe those conversations are different privately. Kalen DeBoer, I think that conversation does come and go, even though he's already denied it. But if you beat Oklahoma, I really think that conversation does go. So I'm not anticipating it being Kalen DeBoer. I could see why people are saying that it makes sense. And I think that it is definitely a fit, but I don't believe that it's going to be Kalen DeBoer. And Kalen DeBoer keeps on saying, I haven't talked with anyone, no plans of talking with anyone. And I do think that people are trying to push that Kalen DeBoer isn't happy as the head football coach at Alabama. I don't think that's the case. And not only that, Alabama fans may not be happy, but I don't think the administration wants Kalen DeBoer out there. And I get it. It's not what Nick Saban has done. But last year, they were a 9-3 team at the end of the regular season. And I understand that's not satisfactory at Alabama. And then this year, they were a 2-loss team at the end of the regular season. And you have a coach that was at Washington and took him to a national championship game. Like, if you get rid of Kalen DeBoer and you're Alabama, who are you getting? I understand it's Alabama. Like, who are you? Is Marcus Freeman leaving Notre Dame to be the head football coach at Alabama? I don't think so. You know, do you want to get rid of Kalen DeBoer to get Kenny Dillingham maybe to leave Arizona State to go to Alabama? I'd rather have Kalen DeBoer. So I don't think Kalen DeBoer wants to leave Tuscaloosa. I don't think the folks that run Alabama also want Kalen DeBoer to leave or have any indication yet or any inclination yet to get rid of Kalen DeBoer. Fans, though, because the standard isn't what the standard has used to be, they're going to demand that change. So if it's not DeBoer, then who could it be? Really, Jed Fish? It's not a bad hire, but it's, okay, you're Michigan. You think you could do better than Jed Fish. But we had Jake Butt on last week, and Jake Butt kind of disagrees with the notion that, hey, Jed Fish would be an underwhelming hire. Listen up, this is Jake Butt.
It would. I mean, I played for Jed, so I know him personally. I've worked in the conference. But I think what people are doing is they're taking his record at Washington and saying, what do you mean? Why would you hire this guy? I like to provide the context that when DeBoer left for Alabama, that was a bare roster, a bare program. Everybody left. In comes Jed, and he's got to start from square one. But also, then Washington goes from a premier program in the Pac-12 to a tier two, tier three program in the Big Ten. They're a bottom third NIL spend. So I look at it and say 8-4 this year with what they had on the offensive line in the trenches. That's pretty darn good. They were competitive with Ohio State and Michigan. And I question a lot of the candidates that Michigan fan bases are enamored with. Would any of those coaches have done better than Jed, given what he had out there at Washington right now? I think he's a builder with what he did at Arizona. That program was broke and completely lost. And he's trending in the right direction. Washington just signed their best recruiting class of all time. So I think a lot of people are overlooking the quality of coach Jed is just from looking at like the gross win and loss total. And I think that would be a mistake to do that to Jed.
All right, let's play a game here, Stu. Realistic or unrealistic? Jed Fish should be the next head football coach at Michigan.
Realistic.
Kenny Dillingham.
I think realistic.
Kalen DeBoer.
I think unrealistic.
I agree with you on DeBoer. Biff Poggi.
I think one of the other two I mentioned would be before him, so I think unrealistic.
I would agree. Jesse Minter.
I think they will want to get away from the Harbaugh stuff, so I think unrealistic.
I agree with you, but in terms of the possible candidates, I don't think this list is very long. I am not going to say it's unrealistic. I would say realistic slightly more than unrealistic. John Gruden, who is 20-1.
Unrealistic.
Imagine Chucky there. Let me tell you what, man, about this Michigan Wolverines program. Let me tell you what. Yeah, I would go unrealistic. Tommy Rees. That name has been floated out there. It's bizarrely floated out there.
I just don't.
Former Notre Dame offensive coordinator was at Alabama too. Now with the Cleveland Browns.
I'll say realistic only because I just need to add a few more names here at least.
Yeah, I'm going to say realistic just because of how bizarre of that name being out there. Jeff Brohm, who was thrown into the Penn State mix and ultimately took himself out of the mix. I still wonder how much was he really actually in the mix and how much was that agent just pushing his name to try to get that contract extension.
Yeah, I think unrealistic.
Marcus Freeman.
Unrealistic.
33-1. Oh, my God. You didn't even let me finish what I was about to say, Stu. 33-1.
Unrealistic. I don't think he's leaving Notre Dame for Michigan.
Here's an interesting one. Row, row, row your boat. PJ Fleck.
That I haven't thought of that name at all, actually. I'll say realistic. I think there's an outside chance, but I don't think he would be a top three or four candidate.
Who do you think, Stu, is getting the Michigan job?
I think Dillingham is.
You still think it's going to be Kenny
Dillingham?
I think
it's going to be Dillingham, yeah.
All right, let's go to our resident Arizona State expert. No, Mike has actually been very fair about this. Mike has said at times this offseason he thought Kenny Dillingham was gone. Now the fact that Kenny Dillingham is still there, and he keeps on getting very emotional about this. Do you think there's a chance that Kenny Dillingham could still be the next head football coach at Michigan?
I think there's a chance, but it's low. It's like 5-10%, especially after reports that he and the university are starting to talk about an extension and that they're closing in on a new deal for him. Nothing against Michigan. Michigan's a great job. It's a top 7 job in the country. But LSU was open, Penn State was open, Auburn was open, Florida was open. He said no to all of those. What does Michigan have that all of those don't have? Like, if he wanted to leave Arizona State, he didn't know Michigan was going to open up. He would have taken one of those jobs because he was a favorite for most of them. Ole Miss, maybe, you know, could have been an option had they not kept Golding there. So if he wanted to leave, he had the opportunity to leave. Unless Michigan is a dream job for him, he's not going anywhere.
But so give me those jobs one more time that you just said potentially, because Michigan's a top 5 job in the country still.
I don't think it is.
It is. How is it not a top five job in the
like
country?
It's like top seven. It's not to knock it, but if you look at the other programs, like Ohio State is a top job.
Okay, so you're saying top seven.
Top seven.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's right within that. Okay, so it's still a premier job in the country.
100%.
So give me the jobs that you just said one more time.
Well, the four biggest ones to me were Ole Miss. No, not Ole Miss. But LSU, Auburn, Florida, Penn State.
Okay. LSU, I think you would leave, but here's the thing. He wasn't really a candidate because it was Lane all along. Florida, I don't think you have to leave to be the coach of Florida. Like, isn't Ole Miss, in terms of where Lane Kiffin was at Ole Miss, I could compare it to saying, oh, Kenny Dillingham is at his school, at his alma mater, right? I know Lane Kiffin's school wasn't Ole Miss, but he's at his school. Is Florida a you got to have a job in the year of 2025 moving into 2026? Still tremendous recruiting, tremendous resources. I get that. I don't think it's a you got to have it job. Auburn, not a you got to have it job. I know Dillingham has ties there because he used to be on the staff. And what was the other one?
Penn State.
Penn State is still a tier below, slightly below Michigan. I could have seen him leaving, but that name was really thrown out there by the media. I've never really heard it thrown out there by the Penn State side. I don't know why they wouldn't be interested. Who knows how this Matt Campbell thing actually came about? I know Pat Kraft said that he tried to reach out to his representation, but it was like an old representative number or something like that. So I don't know if Kenny Dillingham, and this is where what I'm saying here. I'm not saying that you're wrong that he's going to stay at Arizona State. What I'm saying is just because we speculate a name, just because we throw a name out there, doesn't mean that the guy is actually in the mix. Now, I'm assuming that Michigan's going to be interested in Kenny Dillingham. And maybe I'm going to assume wrong here. But this is going to be the first time I think Kenny Dillingham really has to say no this offseason. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he hasn't said no before in the offseason, but it was like, oh, would you be interested? You know, do you want to be in the mix at this job? How much are you really in the mix for this job? If it's not Kalen DeBoer, it feels like it's going to be Kenny Dillingham. So Kenny Dillingham, it can get presented to him. This is the offer. Like Samter, if they say to him, this is the way I'll word it to you. If they say to him, hey, Kenny Dillingham, this is the job if you want it. We want to make you the next head football coach. We'll give you what you want financially. That's not a problem with us. We're going to get you taken care of. Do you think he says no if it is, instead of all these jobs that he speculated for, here we go. We are going to give you the job if you just give us your word and you say yes. That's the question.
I still say no. Again, outside of those jobs I mentioned, Michigan's probably second best behind LSU.
Yeah.
Right? Among those jobs. But he didn't know Michigan was coming open. He said no to four premium.
But did he say no? That's my thing. But he wasn't really in the mix for LSU. They hired Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin's a better coach than Kenny Dillingham on paper in terms of the resume. So, like, I don't know how much he really said no outside of us just speculating him.
Well, he said no in the sense of, I'm staying at Arizona State. Whether they went to him or not, he chose to stay at Arizona State amid the speculation.
Hypothetically, though, you love Avril Lavigne, right? You've told me that before.
It's not hypothetically speaking. I love Avril Lavigne.
No, but here's what I'm saying.
Oh, you're giving
here.
Me a hypothetical.
I'm giving you a hypothetically.
Gotcha, yes.
Hypothetically. Here.
Yes.
Samter says no to a date with Avril Lavigne. Right? This is the hypothetical. This is the thing. Did you really? You said no. Sure, you said no. But was she ever going on a date with you? If you said, I'm going on a date with Avril Lavigne, I want to go on a date with Avril Lavigne, I'm in. And she doesn't want to go on a date with you. She doesn't want to get a date with you. So in this case, with Kenny Dillingham, did he really say no? Was the question even asked? That's what I'm just asking. I don't know the answer to it. But out of all those jobs that we just mentioned, yeah, LSU seemed like the one that you would say yes to. But LSU was never offered to him. And I don't know how much Florida, once it seems like the way Florida did go down, that they went from getting told no to Kiffin and then immediately pivoting and flipping John Sumrall from either going to be the next head football coach at Auburn or wherever it was going to be. So I don't know how much he even said no to Florida. And I wouldn't fault him if he said no to Florida. Like, I wouldn't fault him if he said no to Auburn. You know, Penn State, maybe. But that Penn State search, we don't even really know what was reality and what was fiction. So that's the thing I'm just saying. I don't know if Kenny Dillingham has actually had to say no this offseason, where it's you could have this job if you want it. And we all know that he should be a hot commodity. But also, here's the other thing. How much better are you getting than Michigan? Like, if you turn down Michigan here, what's the job that you're holding out for? Especially with all the changes that we just had. You know, are you waiting for things to go south with DeBoer at Alabama and that's the job? But who even knows that you would be a candidate for that job?
You know what's funny? Before this year, I would have put Alabama 100% above Michigan. All the reports coming out of Tuscaloosa is that their NIL situation is a mess. And they're not competitive with some of the other big SEC schools. And that's what's really hurting Alabama. So I don't know if Alabama's a better job right now than Michigan, just based off of the NIL situation.
Okay, let's just see this. So 2026 recruiting rankings. I'm going to just pull this up. Alabama still had the second best class. So that's a thing that I always struggle with. People say, oh, Alabama's NIL is not that good. Like, I've heard people say that before. According to 24/7 Sports, the 2026 recruiting football team rankings, USC was one. Alabama was still two. Michigan was 11th. Oregon was third, Notre Dame was fourth, Georgia was five, Ohio State was sixth, Tennessee was seventh, Texas was eighth, A&M was ninth, Miami was 10th, and Michigan was 11th. You know who was 12th? Washington. Which I just throw that out there because Michigan's 11, Washington's 12. Jed Fish obviously could potentially be in the mix for the Michigan job, so I just mentioned that. But if Jed Fish got offered the Michigan job, I think he would crawl to Ann Arbor to take it. I really do. So I think it's going to be either Dillingham or it's going to be Jed Fish. I don't believe it's going to be Kalen DeBoer. But I would make Kenny Dillingham say no to them, not just publicly, no, and then make him say no again. I make him say no multiple times. All righty, we'll take a timeout. Zach Elp here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come on back, we'll play you that Pat Boyle audio and we will wrap up shop on a Tuesday. Update time first. Here's Zach. The U.S. Sun has now chimed in. Popular longtime CBS show abruptly canceled in surprise announcement after 8 years. They used a photo, by the way, of me at the Final Four, Stu, when I was wearing the cowboy hat. So I thought that was a very funny image. Nothing will top the Daily Mail, though. The article that the Daily Mail wrote with the outrage that people have and blaming CBS, which has nothing to do with CBS, I think is awesome.
Well, I mean, not to overplay our hand, but like every single person that I've come across on social media has expressed outrage. So it's not incorrect information.
Yeah, I know. You're not wrong on that.
You know, whenever something like this happens, you always see some trolls being like, oh, good riddance, we didn't like. I haven't really seen any of that. It's been all positive feedback.
I got two of them. Because I really tried to
poop. You got your poop.
Yeah. Well, the 7-year-old taking over the FAU announcer's phone and saying I'm poop, and then him apologizing for that. That one I'm gonna give him a pass. With that being said, though, there was like two people because I really tried to find all of them, and some people I do have muted, so I don't know. Maybe there are some haters that are chiming on in that I just didn't see. But there was like two people that I saw that I was like, yeah, I can mute you. Like, if you're talking about my hairline or something like that, or just making up, like, a bunch of bull crap. But the last few that I got from people that we work with, like Ken Carman and EJ and Anthony Gallo and some other people, like, I'm blown away that have reached out to me. You know, I really do appreciate that. But the listeners, like, a mailman said, I listen to you on my mail route. Or, you know, a guy who's a delivery driver that says, oh, I listen to you whenever I'm delivering pizzas and things like that. Or one guy that was listening on a boat to us from Fiji. You know, like that guy I'm down with. Can I get on the boat? Can I come vacation? Can I come enjoy myself? So, you know, I'm humbled. I really am. I'm blown away by the response. And it's just funny to me some of the coverage around it, whether it's awful announcing Barrett Sports Media, the Daily Mail. I'm serious when it comes to my craft, but I also know what we're doing. I hate to say it doesn't change lives because I get so many messages from people like how life-changing we are, but like we're not curing cancer here, folks. You know, we're not saving yourself from a heart issue or something like that. But there is something about the radio and the way that you connect with people that's just different than any other medium. You know, you don't get this kind of bond in TV. You don't get this kind of bond in a podcast necessarily yet. But there's just something about the radio, you never know who's listening. You never know who's listening. And some of the interactions that you get, and unfortunately it takes you having to leave a place to really hear that love and get that love. But you are right, Samter. Usually on social media, it's 50-50, like, I love you, I hate you. You're the best. You're a fat, ugly SOB. You know, you're the greatest thing. You're a nipple baby. Oh! Like, your dad got you the job. Oh! Like, all that stuff, all those losers. But I will say 98% of the messages that I just got are have been positive, and I'm blown away by the response. Now, I will say this. Us begging for negative responses, now I'm going to get a slew of negative responses, so I'm probably not going to go back on social media tonight. Anyway, do you have the Pat Boyle audio? So Pat Boyle, the Knicks are going for a championship tonight. The NBA Cup championship. Woo! Did they really hang a banner for that? Stu, the Lakers won.
Lakers did.
So you're telling me it's no longer the Staples Center, right? What is it? It's
the Crypto.com arena.
Yeah, Crypto.com arena. You're telling me when they have all those legendary names hanging in the rafters and all those championships, there's a little small banner somewhere that says NBA Cup champion?
I believe so. Now, I haven't really seen it, now that you say that.
Maybe they took it down.
Maybe they took it down at some point, but I it was up there for a little bit, you know, at least.
They put Shaq banners up there, and then they tattooed it behind. They printed a very small, like, two-size font banner that they just pinned right behind Shaq's, and then they actually then put another banner behind Shaq's that was Shaq's again, having it face the other way, so you just couldn't see it. That's what they probably did. So the Knicks are playing the Spurs tonight. They're going for, it's called the NBA Cup, right?
Yeah, it's the Emirates NBA Cup.
The Emirates NBA Cup Championship. So Pat Boyle, our evening guy, I guess you could say the lone survivor, Pat Boyle, the one guy that survived all these changes. He's going to be doing that show with that loudmouth betting guy. What's his name? I know his name. Brad Evans. He's going to be doing the show, and I wish him nothing but the best. They're doing the show. That's one show I'll actually root for because Pat's there. He's doing the show from 6 to 11 p.m., and that's going to be Monday through Fridays on Westwood No Fun. I mean, Westwood One Radio Network, whatever it's called. So Pat's going to be doing this show with Brad Evans, and this is Pat Boyle taking to social media. And Pat Boyle is demanding for a banner to be hung and how much this means to him. And then I think he flopped. I think this was contrived, and I think he fell on purpose. Santer's disagreeing with me, but let's play the audio.
I'm getting real fed up and sick and tired of people telling me the NBA Cup doesn't matter. Oh, it's just a sham in-season tournament that they created to drum up interest. Nobody cares. It doesn't matter in the standings. It counts in here. It counts in here. I want a banner. Don't you want a banner inside the garden? The Knicks haven't won anything in 50-plus years. You're going to poo-poo on this tournament just because it's not the NBA Finals? Don't you think I want to win an NBA title as well? Don't you think I want the Knicks to win an NBA title? Okay, and the next best thing is winning the NBA Cup. Okay, we're not going to treat it the same as an NBA title. Okay. I'm not going to go parading down to the Canyon of Heroes, shaking my ass and screaming for Jalen Brunson. No, but I'm going to be happy that the Knicks won something. What? Here, let me make the math easy for you. Ready? Banner or no banner? Banner? No banner. Would you rather lose the big French bastard Wembanyama and the Spurs and have them rub our faces in it? Because you know what it's going to be for all the Knicks haters. If the Knicks win, it's the NBA Cup. It doesn't even matter. And if the Knicks lose, it's going to... Oh, my ass. Oh, I'm putting my body on the line. Oh, God. Oh, I'm putting my body on the line for the Knicks. Ow, that hurts so bad. You know what Jalen Brunson's going to do if he wins? Oh, my God. You know what he's going to do with his prize money? He's going to get hooked on phonics for Tyler Kolek so he can learn how to read. Don't you want Tyler Kolek to be able to learn how to read? That hurts so bad. Have some pride, all right? Don't tell me how to be a fan. Let's win a title tonight. That hurts so bad.
Do you think he actually fell? Do you think that was an authentic fall, Stu?
I do. I do. They don't shovel in Bayonne, so that's what I'm going to say. And also, I just watching the video, it looked like it was an actual fall.
Samter, do you think that's an authentic fall?
Falling on ice is not an easy thing to fake. because it hurts.
Well, it is when you're a con artist like Boyle.
It's a hard thing to fake because, like, man, falling on ice hurts. So, like, to fake it, A, you have to be a glutton for punishment. But, B, there's so many things that could go wrong. And when he fell, dude, like, the way he fell, if he planned that, he's, A great actor. And, B, he is, I don't know, ballsy, brave. I don't know what the word is because, like, he fell hard. Fake or not fake, he fell hard. Like, right on his shoulder.
But if I fell and that was an authentic fall, I think you're in a lot more pain. He kind of just dusted it off and got right back up and was like, it hurt.
He's got a lot of cushion.
Wow.
Samter calls Boyle fat.
I'm not saying fat. He's, you know, he goes to the gym. He's got
buff.
Buff.
That doesn't sound all that convincing with how you said it. Can I hear the fall one more time, Stu?
If the Knicks win, it's the NBA Cup. It doesn't even matter. And if the Knicks lose, it's going to... Oh, my ass. Oh.
That, I think, has to be the motto of the network. Oh. Ow, my bleeping ass.
I'm putting my body on the line.
Well, Marash sat in that chair that you're sitting in right now. Yeah, he said my bleeping ass as well because he went poopy in his underwear.
We threw that chair away.
Play that one more time, Stu. It makes me laugh, this clip. Go ahead.
If the Knicks win, it's the NBA Cup. It doesn't even matter. And if the Knicks lose, it's going to... Oh, my ass.
That's great. Oh, my ass. Oh, yeah, yeah. All right, this is a weird transition. Clayton Safey, who covers the Michigan football team. Jim Harbaugh on what he texted Jerome Moore since Moore was fired, arrested, and charged with a felony for home invasion. Keep it together and take care of your family. Oh, I don't think he was able to keep it together, and I don't think he was able to take care of his family yet, Coach. But that's the message, and getting spiritual guidance, that is really critical. I don't know. You don't call Sharon Moore? He was your assistant. You don't call him? Maybe he did try to call. But he texted Sharon Moore, quote, keep it together and take care of your family. That's the message, and getting spiritual guidance, that's really critical. I did see some video yesterday. I believe it was yesterday of Sharon Moore leaving his attorney's office with his wife, and Sharon Moore was pushing the stroller of one of his daughters. So I was not expecting to see the wife and him still together, but hey, we've seen couples go through a lot publicly and them obviously still stay together. I don't know if that's going to be the case, but at least they are putting on a united front right now.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.